In Saudi Arabia, a cautious debate has begun over the power of the country's ultra-conservative religious establishment. The discovery that 15 of the 19 September 11th hijackers were Saudi citizens drew sharp criticism from Western analysts who accused the Saudi clergy of fostering extremism. That has prompted some Saudis to do what has long been taboo— publicly question the influence of the religious authorities. From Riyadh, NPR's Kate Seeley reports.
Prior to the September 11th attacks, it wasn't uncommon to hear a Saudi preacher cursing Americans and Jews during Friday prayers. Khaled al-Batarfi, managing editor of El Medina newspaper, says many Saudis paid little attention to such tirades, which they considered a harmless expression of anger over U.S. policy in the Middle East. But these days, says Batarfi, there's an increased awareness that hate speech can turn dangerous.
Some words can become bombs and become weapons of mass destruction. So now we have to rethink the way we deal with those words. We can't afford to treat them as before as just empty words or empty threats.
Last year, Crown Prince Abdullah urged the kingdom's clerics to tone down their sermons and embrace moderation. Most Saudi intellectuals like Jamal Khashoggi, deputy editor of the Arab News, insist that there is little extremism here. Still, Khashoggi says there are some al-Qaeda sympathizers, especially among Saudi youth, and the country needs to understand why.
We must discuss that and find an answer. Is it something in our teaching? Is it something in the environment here which make those kind of views attractive to them?
Many critics in the West say Saudi Arabia's educational system, with its heavy emphasis on Islamic teachings, is partly to blame. Other Western critics blame the intolerance of the clergy. Saudi reformists argue that neither is exclusively responsible for breeding radicalism, but Khashoggi acknowledges that the religious establishment's narrow worldview is not healthy for Saudi Arabia.
We need serious change at the religious establishment, not because the Americans say so or wants to, but because we need that. We need to progress more. We need to develop our system more to be part of the free world. And to be part of the free world is to be open to all kind of ideas.
However, reformists say it's not going to be easy to take on the religious establishment. The clergy are already putting up a fight to stop reforms that might reduce their influence. This past summer, the Ministry of Education attempted to introduce the teaching of English in the fourth grade, but the religious establishment protested so ferociously that the government put the project on hold, despite having hired hundreds of English teachers. Sheikh Asam al-Hakim, a cleric in Jeddah, says learning English at an early age would corrupt young, impressionable Saudis.
We should not go to others and learn their language because this makes us weaker, makes our language weaker, and makes our faith weaker.
But if the government is going to tackle this kind of thinking, analysts say, it will have to challenge the very institution from which it draws much of its legitimacy and authority. Modern-day Saudi Arabia was founded by an alliance between the Al Saud ruling family and the followers of a puritanical stream of Islam known as Wahhabism, named after an 18th-century Muslim thinker. Today, the Al Sauds run political affairs in this absolute monarchy, while the Wahhabi clergy are allowed enormous influence over social and educational affairs in return for their support of the ruling family. The problem, says reformist Abdullah al-Hamid, is that Wahhabism is based on an ideology which he says rejects civilization and progress. This way of thinking can't adapt to modern political concepts, says Hamid. Wahhabi ideology glorifies what it portrays as the purity of Islam's early years, and it rejects all outside influence. Those same ideas have been embraced by Osama bin Laden and his followers. Hamid says if Saudi Arabia is ever to reform, it must discard Wahhabi ideology in favor of what he calls traditional Islam, which he says is open and flexible. But dissident Mohsen El-Awaji, who went to prison in the 1990s after publicly calling for reform, says it would be risky to challenge Wahhabism. Awaji says the royal family is worried about its credibility and doesn't dare alienate its power base.
They must keep their strong relation with this school because they understand its influence on the society. The society is still not independent of this school. By the way, I myself, part of this religious, I would say, school, and I used to be very afraid of them, more than to be afraid of this, you know, secret police or the jail or the government.
Wahhabis insist upon the strict segregation of the sexes and the full veiling of women. Religious police, known as the Mutawwa, patrol the streets, making sure that men attend daily prayers and that both sexes are appropriately dressed. A lock of hair peeking out from under a veil can lead to hours of detention. Those who have dared to criticize the Mutawwa say they've received death threats. Wahhabi clerics say they reject violence. Many condemn the September 11th attacks. But Sheikh Asim al-Hakim says the religious establishment will oppose any attempts to reform its beliefs.
See, it's a matter of life and death. So we will try our best to stand against that peacefully.
However, analysts say there is legitimate concern that the clergy or its supporters might react violently if the government pushes too hard for change. Reformist Abdullah al-Hamid says the best way for the government to challenge Wahhabi ideology is by building a civil society in Saudi Arabia, one which encourages freedom of expression, human rights, and ultimately the establishment of civic and democratic institutions. When there are more freedoms, hardliners will discover that they are a minority, says Hamid, and they won't be able to dominate anymore. But reformists say the ruling family is also reluctant to start democratizing because they aren't terribly keen to share power. Hamid says that position will backfire on the kingdom's leaders in the long run. Bin Laden has gained supporters, says Hamid. Any delay in the reform process will only benefit those who call for violence. But there have been some positive steps lately, say reformists. This past spring, the government shifted responsibility for girls' education from a body supervised by the clergy to the Ministry of Education. The move followed a deadly fire at a girls' school in Mecca and accusations that the religious police hindered the girls' rescue because they weren't properly veiled. 15 girls died in the tragedy, triggering enormous public outrage toward the Mutawwa, says Khalid al-Maina, editor-in-chief of the Arab News.
It did sort of put them in the firing line. You know, a lot of pent-up feelings came out during that time.
Reformists say the anger allowed Crown Prince Abdullah to take on the religious establishment. Some worry that it may take yet another tragedy to bring about further change. Kate Seeley, NPR News, Riyadh. Thank you.